Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, God, that no matter what we walked in with today, that you're bigger than it. You're bigger than the circumstance and the problems. You're bigger than the weights, the trauma, the grief, all of it, God. We lay it at your feet today. And God, we ask and we call upon the healer. God, I ask that you would do a new work in these beautiful women's lives. Lord, I ask, God, that you would mend their hearts, God, in places only you know of. Lord, I ask, God, for the anointing of God to come and just fill them right now. Just fill them. Just fill them right now, God. Every word that's been spoken over it, over these girls, we break its power. Every demonic word that has been spoken, that has shaped their identity, that has stopped them from living in the fullness of who you are, God, right now, in the name of Jesus. We break the power of Satan that is controlled and manipulated over them. I ask for just a free spirit, God, upon them. I ask that the spirit and the blood of Jesus wash them and cleanse them right now. Just cleanse them right now. Renew their mind in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Every foul spirit that wants to come and lie to you about your family, they're not going to be okay. These are fiery arrows that Satan is throwing at you. So right now, we're just going to stand in the gap and we're going to pray over our families. This is what we do, women. We fight the good fight of faith for our kids. We fight the good fight of faith for our families. So in the name of Jesus, every spirit that wants to bring dissension, wants to bring confusion, wants to bring chaos, wants to bring disruption. I see a spirit of disruption upon families and misunderstanding and twisting of words and foolishness, God. I pray, I cast down every foul thing that has tried to bring division in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask, God, for the peace of God, which will rule and reign. Lord, we ask for the truth to be said and to be spoken. And we bind the works of darkness. We bind the works of Satan. And we cast down every vain imagination that wants to parade itself against what God says about our children, and our children are called by God. They are anointed by God. They will see you clearly, God. They will know your name clearly, God. They will walk and they will not be harmed, God. They will be blessed and they will go before you, God, with favor. So, Lord, we may not see it now, but God, we believe it in faith in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray over every marriage in this room that there's just been an ugh towards each other. Just an ugh. Lord, I ask, God, that there be a renewing of the heart for each other, God. A healing, God. Those places that, God, I hear some of you just don't even want it. You're like, I don't want that. I don't really like them. But God, I ask that as we surrender that to your hands, that God, that you begin to change our hearts, God. Change the heart of the believer to be more like you and to see how you see and to pray how you pray, God. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your goodness and your kindness to us. Thank you for what you're going to do today. And we're excited about the word, God, that changes our lives. We're excited for the gospel, that God is the only anchor we have. So, God, as we dive into your word today, oh, Spirit of God, we invite you to come. Let your anointing fall. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. And Lord, I ask, God, that you would do a new work in us in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Awesome. Isn't it good just to come and be girls? We can go very deep. And then we can laugh right afterwards. I love how God deals with us. If you're wondering what I'm bringing on the stage, you'll see. I'm excited about the word today. I really am. I'm always excited about the word. Some of them bring me dread when I'm studying them, but this one I was like, yes, let's go. I was so excited. And as I started studying, I redecorated my whole house afterwards. I got rid of winter and I put up Easter. because we are diving back into 1 Corinthians. We're finally going to finish out 1 Corinthians, and it is the perfect time to start 1 Corinthians. Did you guys enjoy Ecclesiastes 5? Man, that was like a spanking, huh? I know. I was thinking about doing the whole book of Ecclesiastes. I'm in prayer over it, so... Woo, that'll be a deep one. But I think these deep dives are so important for us to keep our hearts right before the Lord and for us to dive into what it is His Word is teaching us. And so today I want to encourage you, turn off all distractions. You know, go on your little thing and put do not disturb, because nobody is talking to you that needs to be talking to you except for Jesus. And so they can wait 1 hour, they can wait, because the Word is going to be what changes your life. It's going to be the pinnacle point of knowing that the foundation of God's goodness is in you and through you, and that there's something powerful that is going to be happening. And I believe that I have had to fight off some demonic things praying for this, because I think Satan is coming after you. He's coming after you. He wants to distract you. He wants to get you confused. He wants to get you fog-brained. Does anybody like feel fog-brained? Like, I can't focus so well. I don't know what's going on with me. I start something and I'm not finishing it. And I just believe that the Word today is going to bring us life. It's going to bring you clarity. You know, when you open up your Word, it's proven that when you study the Word of God, this is proven that you actually become smarter. Your IQ is raised. Isn't that good to know? Yeah. So I'm like, oh yeah, give me the Word. Oh, I like that Bible. I like that book. So we're going to get into it, and I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, we already prayed. And I've titled this message, If I Continue to Believe. Whew, if is a big word. Because if is a conditional word for you. I can't do it for you. I can't make it happen for you in your life. I can only do my if. You're responsible for your if. And the bottom line is that if I continue to believe, these verses are going to bring us some things. And as the Lord has been speaking, let me just set this up for you and go back to where we were coming from in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is Paul speaking to the Corinth church. The church is a body of believers in a city that is full of great evil. They have ports coming from everywhere, and on those ports come all different types of cultures, all different types of traditions, all types of different witchcraft. There's a ton of perversion in this city. Sounds like ours, right? There's a lot of evil that is brought in, different ideas, different traditions, different gods, lots of gods. And Paul got a hold of this people group of people. And he began to preach the gospel to them, and they began to understand the good news of this gospel. And they began to be able to defy the world that they had to live in and be who God had called them to be, even in the midst of a very hard culture to live amongst, which is good news for us because we could do it too, girls. And so these were Christians, and they were beginning to understand their Christian life. And we're at the end of 1 Corinthians, and Paul is coming back to them, and he's going to preach a good news and remind them of some things. So today, girls, you may say, oh, Pastor, I've heard this before, but I'm here to tell you, you need to be reminded of this again, because God's word today is for you personally. I don't care if you're a pastor. I don't care if you're a stay-at-home mom. I don't care if you're a plumber. I don't care if you're a nurse. I don't care what your profession is. I don't care where you grew up. The wrong side, the right side of the tracks, because God is not a respecter of persons, and God has a word for us today. And this is going to be a word that will remind you of the power of the kingdom of God operating in your life. Now listen to me. It will change your life if you continue to believe. And let me tell you, I have young adults. I got a lot of young adults in my life. I mean, good Lord, I got so many nieces and nephews and my own children. And I'm having adult conversations with a lot of adults that think they know a lot of things. I never thought I'd be on the other side of this, like, you do not know what you're talking about. But I will tell you, my biggest question is, if you do this, then you will get these results. And they have a choice. Right? So tonight, I'm saying to you, like I say to all the young people in my life, if you choose to do what we talk about today, You will get God results in your life pouring out on you so much so your blessings, you won't be able to contain it. You will not be able to be satisfied. And now you will be overwhelmed, satisfied with the goodness of God in your life. That's this gospel. That's what he has for you. That's what he wants for us as believers. So let's break this open, 1 Corinthians 15. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters. So he apparently had told them before of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. Verse 2. It is the good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you. Unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. How many believers have we seen do that? At one point, they were serving God. Then some evil thought came into their life, some evil person, some demonic assignment came in to derail them off of the things in the heart of God. And all of a sudden, they no longer believe. Verse 3. I passed on to you what was most important and what, sorry, I can't read with my glasses on, and what has also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. Verse 4, he was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day. And just as the scripture said, he was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Verse 7, then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at a wrong time, I also saw him. Verse 9, for I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I am not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. Verse 10, but whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results. For I have worked harder than any other apostles. Wow, to be able to say that. Yet it is not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. So it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach, for we all preach the same message you have already believed. Wow. There's so much here. I had been stewing on this, and I had been thinking about this. And in these verses, Paul is pointing out some very important principles for us as a church. He starts with the gospel and the importance of the gospel. He talks about the good news and the goodness of God. And then he talks about the divine goodness and what it brings into our life. I don't know about you, but I don't want just goodness. I want divine goodness moving in my life. And then he proves Christ's death. Very simply and briefly, but he proves the resurrection over and over and over again in these verses. It's important for us to be confident in knowing that what God said he was going to do, that he comes through and he does do it, in order for us to continue to believe. And God knew we needed that. Then he addresses the grace of God. Oh, the grace, the wonder-working power of God in our lives. And if we, church, choose to walk out what he's talking about in these verses, your life is going to be full of grace. It's going to be full of goodness. It's going to be full of God, Christ moments. You're going to be anchored on the rock, which does not shake and does not move. And you cannot be taken out. You might be taken off a little bit on your pedestal, but God's going to put you back up and he's going to straighten you out and he's going to give you the strength to overcome. He's going to give you the power to do what only his word can give you to do. You see, that's what God is saying to us in these verses. And Paul is saying, remember who you are. And I, Pastor Jess, with a big fat mouth, is saying to you girls, remember who we are. When your kids are bugging you, when the finances just seem to just be one thing after another, when things aren't adding up and there's gossip everywhere you go, remember who you are. Girlfriend, take authority over that. Take back that territory. Begin to fight the good fight of faith that only you can do, because you are more than enough and he is more than enough in you. Romans 10:9 says, if you are openly declared that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You could not even do this on your own. You had to believe that God was God in order for you to be saved from your sin and not live in eternity for hell, for the rest of your life in hell. You see, God is showing us today that that same power that saved us is the same power that is still operating in us. It's not a one-time thing, girls. It's not right when you walk up to the altar and you give him your life, but it is every day after that. And God was stirring in me, and I was laying in bed one night after reading these verses, and I was just like, it's probably 2 a.m, I was like, Holy Spirit, what are you saying here? And I just heard him whisper, he said, my goodness and my grace is yours. You either take it or you don't. And I went, ooh, I don't know if I've been pulling on that as much as I need to. I don't know if I remember that that's for me all the time when I get caught up in the foolish leaven of conversation, the foolish leaven of gossip, the foolish leaven of worrying over money, the foolish leaven of getting tangled up in this world's affairs. You see, I've got to keep my mind focused on what God needs me to focus it on. The resurrection brings us three things that are constant in our life if we continue to believe. God's goodness, number one, God's goodness is mine because of the good news of the gospel of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:1-2. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you stand firm in it now. And it is the good news that saves you if you continue to believe. The message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. We have to be careful, church. What are you listening to? I keep thinking about what these little eyes see. What's that little old, you know, kid song, the little eyes that they see and the little ears that you hear? You got to be careful. And that is because what we look at, what we hear, and listen, what we say, all has power. And the word of God needs to be why we look at anything. And if it's not according to what God tells us to see, then we don't go there. I cannot listen to the ways of this world, the systems of this world, the fighting of this world. But when I listen to the word of God and when I put on worship music and when I begin to put that in, it starts to drain out. And the goodness of God begins to fill me and the ways of the world begin to be released through me. And they are no longer controlling me, bringing me depression, bringing me worry, bringing me fear, putting me in anger. I'm all of a sudden mad at everybody. They're lucky I'm not God. Right? Because I haven't been putting the good news into me. But not just that. My words are not speaking the good news. I failed earlier this week. I told Dan, I said, I don't think I lost it. That bad in like years on someone. Don't worry, none of y'all. And because I could hear the lies coming, and my spirit man rose up and was like, no, wrong. But I still needed to calm myself down. I still could have done that better. Guys, we're all trying to work this thing out. So listen to me. I'm using me as an example. So when you mess up and you're not so good, you go to the throne room and you say, God, I didn't like that. Can you help me do that piece better? But I will say one thing. The words I wouldn't take back because they were ordained by God. They were ordained. I had another conversation with somebody this week. And have you ever had to have that conversation and you're like, ugh. Well, I had to call this person and be like, hey, how'd you think that went? Turned into a 3-hour conversation. That 3-hour conversation turned into a God moment, turned into a prayer moment, turned into a releasing of generational curses moment turned into God breaking soul tie moments. And this person is completely free. And now in the last few days, I've been watching them walk out what it is God needs them to do for their future when I was watching them almost get derailed from what their future was going to be. You see, why? Because I had to calmly this time, not the first time. I messed up the first time, so I was like, I got to do this right the second time. And so the second time I did it better. And I have to tell you, just like me, God wants to use you. And the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ will pour out of your mouth. Now listen, I'm going to warn you, people don't like it. They don't want the gospel coming at them. They don't want to have to be accountable to the heavenly holies of holies and the words that come from the word that we are convicted by, that we live by, that we move by, that I am in all by, because the word is power. And when it rolls off my tongue and when it rolls out of my mouth, no longer can every demon in hell even entrap me anymore. He cannot overtake me anymore. He has no more power over me anymore. And so when we begin to speak the word, the goodness of heaven pours out on us like a flood pouring out of heaven, because the gospel is good news. It's good news. So when you begin to speak the word. Speak it. Because you're going, well, why isn't there goodness happening in my life, Pastor? So much conflict, so much anger, so much distraction, so much worry, so much fear. Are you speaking the word? Are you gathering your thoughts with God and saying, show me in scripture where I need to do this differently? He'll bring you to a story. He'll bring you to a passage. He will give you a word in your spirit, man. You just begin to pray that over this situation. And God's goodness will then pour out on your situation that seems impossible. When your heart is discouraged, speak the word. It will begin to bring good news into your soul. It will build you up. It will edify you. See, God's goodness is for you. Psalm 34, 8 through 10 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people. Who's godly in here? Not all of you said that. Okay, well, we're going to get you there hopefully by the end. For those that fear him will have all they need. Ah, right there, girls. Those that fear God will have all that they need. That means when you have a healthy fear of who he is, that you're more afraid of his response to you than what man's response will be to you, you will have all you need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. If you're lacking in your life, what does your life look like? Is it lacking the word of God? Is it lacking the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is it lacking the power of the word that comes and breaks the yoke, that cuts the bone in the marrow? Is it lacking that dunamite power being activated in your life? I'm asking you these questions because I want you to be free. I want you to experience that goodness that I felt as I laid there in bed and God said, my goodness is for you. And it comes through my word. Preserving our faith is us pursuing to save our faith. You have to be fighting to keep your faith, because Satan is coming after you to rob your faith from you every single day. Every day he's going to get you. Oh, I don't know if God's going to come through. Oh, I don't know why God's not answering that question. It's always God's fault. Do you notice that? He loves that you blame him for everything too. But instead, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to just begin to speak the word. I'm going to begin to pour out God's goodness over this situation. You see, you're fighting to pursue your faith daily. It's a good fight of faith to stay connected to God, girls. It's a good fight of faith.
His goodness and his good word and the gospel is at work in your life. I'm here to remind you today that God's word is active in your life. It is what our life-giving goodness is every day. It requires us to continue to believe. If you want the goodness of God, then you've got to continue to believe the good word of God. God voluntarily chose the act of dying for us to redeem us back from our sin and our death. This reveals his compassion. This reveals his loving kindness. This reveals his faithfulness. And it was an act of love. I've been doing Lent. And, you know, at first, my parents never really did Lent. They never really taught. Now my mom's like, oh my goodness, how did I miss this? But my dad was Catholic. And then he was like, when he came out of the Catholic Church, he was like, wanting nothing to do with anything they did. And so you go from like one extreme to the other. But so I was probably about a few weeks ago, the Lord was like, I was in prayer and the Lord said, I want you to look up Lent and I want you to do it. So I've been on this journey every day. I think I'm on day 8 right now. And it's been fantastic because it's a time and a season before Easter comes that you have to look at yourself and you have to kind of purge and cleanse and kind of like, ooh, I don't like that about me. I got to fix that, God. And like, ooh, I need to forgive and ooh, I need to do this. And God just kind of brings things to the light. And it's just been so beautiful. And as I've been in this season of fasting and praying, I've also been in this season of attack and demonic assignments. I can feel them. They're thick. They're heavy. I mean, I'm not kidding. The negative texts that come through or the emails that come through or the conversations that come through. And they're bizarre. They're like coming from nowhere and they're for no reason. And it's obviously demonic. And I'm like, man. But just the other day, I stood in my kitchen and I was like, it's a beautiful day. Like by U2, you know, I don't know if you know that song. And my kids were like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's a beautiful day. And they're like, Mom, yesterday was hard. And we're like, yeah, so what? It's a beautiful day. And I'm like dancing with Titus around the kitchen and making him food for the day. And I was like, you know what? Satan doesn't get this. I got God. And he loves me enough to walk me through this time and season of Lent. Wow. That he would love me and care for me and tenderly correct me. That he would come and want to come alongside me and teach me in a deeper way of his goodness. Why? Because his goodness was being poured out. Because his word is being poured in. And when the word gets poured in, the goodness gets poured out. And girls, he wants that for you. His goodness is yours daily. Number 2, God was true to his word for me and for you. He was true to his word and proves this in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15:3-7. I pass on to you what was most important, that what had also been passed on to me, that Christ died for our sins, just as scripture had said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead. And on that third day, just as the scripture said, he was seen by Peter and then the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of the followers at one time, and most of whom are still alive. Can you imagine being alive at that time? Though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I saw him. Paul was grateful to be a part of this. Look how God came through. Look how he proved all the prophecies that were spoken, that he would come, that the Messiah would come, and that he would bear a name, and that he would be called Emmanuel, God with us, and that he would crush the head of Satan. Remember that in Genesis? And here, prophecy after prophecy after prophecy is being fulfilled. And God himself, he wrapped himself in humanity. And he chose voluntarily to come, to walk in our shoes, to see how we see. If you were here last night, to even be baptized when he didn't have to be, but he was because he was an example of what we are to do as believers. He was a walking example here on this earth. He felt pain. He experienced death. His friend Lazarus, the woman at the well, the woman touching the hem of his garment. He performed miracles. He saw the good and the bad and the ugly. He avoided death because it was not yet his time. Death could not get him. He voluntarily sacrificed himself. You see, why? Because there had to be a spotless lamb. It was the blood of that lamb. Back in the day, they would kill those lambs, those spotless lambs, and they would take the blood. And they would take that blood and they would wash themselves. They would cleanse them. That blood of that animal would cleanse the sin of humanity. But no longer could the blood of an animal cleanse our sins. Girls, but a king of the universe, God himself came. And he chose. And he said, they can't do this themselves, but I can come and I can lay myself down and I can rip myself open and I can be dead and I can be crucified and my blood will be poured out for the remission of their sins. And what Satan did in Genesis, I'm going to go and I'm going to take back the keys of sin and death, and no longer will it have control over my people if you choose to believe. If you choose to believe. He endured agony of death. He endured it to the final hour. He purposely did that. I was listening to this person talking about when a woman has a baby and there's that pain and that agony and there's moaning and groaning. My first child, I didn't get any epidural until like 30 minutes before she was born, and then they took it away and told me I had to push. I'm like, I bet you got a lot of money out of that. I got a taste of it, but I felt everything, and it was, and I would moan. I'd be, oh, because the pain and the trauma my body was going through was so intense in order to birth this child that I knew that I was sacrificing myself to bring a life into this world. And I would gladly do it over and over again to this day. And in that process, that pain and that agony, I remember my dad was standing outside the door listening, and Grammy's shaking her head. He's like, I can't listen to this. I cannot listen to my daughter suffer like this. Because yes, it's a suffering, but it's a good suffering. Because as soon as Chloe came out, guess what happened? I didn't remember any of that pain. I was like, is she ugly? You know you all think that. Like, please don't let me have an ugly baby. Is she alive? Is she breathing? Is everybody okay? I all of a sudden had forgotten the pain. But when that second child was coming, I remembered that pain was not so good. And I was like, we're going to go get that epidural right away this time. I ain't going to try and be that cracker mom that's like, woo, we're not doing this without any. No, stupid. Just go get the epidural. So much better. They were fine. Believe me, they're all wonderful and thriving. But it was that sacrifice in that final hour, that agony and that pain, that's what he was experiencing in the Garden of Gethsemane for you and I. And when he said, it is finished, the final hour that he had talked about through all the Old Testament into the New Testament was fulfilled. And church, he proved it time and time again. He could have just gone home to be with God, but no. He made sure people saw him. He made sure he had conversations. He made sure that they got to put their fingers through his hand because they didn't believe. He undid the unbelief. He proved them wrong because the price was too expensive for them not to know the truth and to understand the cost that was paid. Every time my kids act stupid, I'm like, uh-uh. I brought you into this world. I paid a price. This body is ruined because of you. These hips will never go back. And unless I get the stretch marks cut off, they are reward. Right? Because there was something I had to go through in order to birth life. And Jesus understood for us to have life right now, for you to sit in this room, for your sin not to overtake you, for there not to be hope for you, but despair and depression and the weight of this world. Jesus said, I don't want them to live in that. I don't want them to have to live unblessed, not broken open because I was broken open, but there, my blood has washed them. My blood has cleansed them. My blood has brought them into a freedom that only I can give them. So I will lay down my life voluntarily. And girls, we have to remember this when life gets hard. Remember the sacrifice that was given. Remember the price that was paid. Mark 16, Jesus goes and talks about some of his earlier accounts after he was still not yet. He said, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended. It says, early on in the first day of the week, Mark 16, 9, after he arose, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had driven out seven demons. I love that. I love that he came to the woman first. The women always know what's happening first. Don't you think that's beautiful that he has that with us? Mary knew first. Now Mary Magdalene gets to see him first. I love that. And she went out and she told all of them, those who were with him, that they were mourning and they were weeping. And when they heard that he was alive, they had seen him by her. They did not believe. After this, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were on their way to the country. They went back and they told the rest, but they did not believe them. Then he appeared to the 11 of them. And while they were eating, he rebuked them for their unbelief and the hardness of their hearts because they did not believe those who had seen him resurrected. I want to pause there for a second. Can you imagine how frustrating that had to be for him? Like, I just died for you. I told you what's going to happen before I died. I did it with you. I told you exactly how it was going to go down. You watched the whole thing. Now I'm standing here and you still don't believe me? I'd be mad. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God had proven his loyalty to them, and he's proven his loyalty to you and I today. Men are going to let you down, girls. They're going to let you down. People will mess you up. You won't be able to count on humanity at all. But Christ has proved that he is your constant. He is your true, and he is your loyal, and your complete love that you will need and only what you will need. The example around us is that the world is shaking, that life is unstable, that when things get hard, where do you run? Do you run to the systems of this world? Do you run and binge Netflix? Do you run and eat something? Do you run and go and smoke a joint? What do you do? This is San Bernardino. I know y'all. Do a little something. So I'm going to ask Pastor Nicole to come up. Yeah, you sell the workout equipment. You're the only one that could do it. This is called a BOSA ball. And this is what I call not a firm foundation. You can hold on to me, but I want you to balance yourself because you're going to need to hold me. Okay. So this is what it's like when you lean on the world and your own understanding. It's a false sense of reality. And if anything begins to push you, you're going down. Your husband is going to piss you off. Did I just say that in a pulpit? Your kids are going to go out of range. You're not thinking about Christ and his sacrifice and everything he gave for you to not have to live like this. And all of a sudden, he's going to take you down. And he's going to try and push you off. Because that's Satan's plan. But because Christ died, go ahead and stand on that one. Because Christ died and his good gospel news is your firm foundation. When these things come, you aren't swayed. When he's pushing at you, you're not moved. That bottom isn't going to come out from under you because Christ died on a cross for you. Because his blood was shed for you. Because all authority is in your hands and he has handed it over to you. And that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. That you are no longer on a rocky foundation, but you are a daughter of the Most High on a firm foundation, and his goodness is pouring out over you. Thank you, Pastor Nicole. I love you. Thanks for being a good sport. She did good. I knew she would. I was like, please tell her to wear tennis shoes. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 11 says that because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. I don't know about you. I want this firm foundation to be laid in my life. I don't want to build a false foundation of ideas of myself that I think are right, but maybe God thinks they're wrong. And so I'm going to fall off because I see myself as too good. And God's going, hold on, you got to fix some of that so you can become a good foundation. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Girls, don't build a false foundation in your life. He died on that cross so that he could be your anchor in times that are shaky, when grounds get unsettling, when things don't seem right, when you notice that, why is everybody fighting and backbiting? Why is there so much gossip going around? Why is there so much chaos and confusion and so many lies are swirling? Guess what? Turn the TV off. Turn off Instagram. I just got off. If you're writing me, I don't know you're writing me. I'm off because it was leaven. It was filling my heart with foolishness, and it wasn't building me a firm foundation. It was bringing me on this rocky foundation that I'm constantly having to readjust my brain and readjust my heart. And I didn't want to hate people, and I didn't want to be mad at people, and I didn't want to judge authority because I will then be judged. God tells me I have to pray for them. And I needed to guard myself, and I had to stay godly, and I had to be kingdom. I couldn't be what the world wants me to be. The world looks at me and says, oh, you little white girl, and you're just so privileged, and all this crap that they say. No, I am not privileged. I'm privileged because I'm a king's kid. I'm privileged because I serve a God, and he is not any respecter of persons. It has nothing to do with my skin color or how I was raised or what I've done. It all has to do with the blood of Jesus Christ on that cross that he is given it, he has shed it, and what he's done for me, he will do for you. So church, don't believe the lies. Don't believe the lies that it is not more than enough for you. God is not a respecter of persons. He died on that cross. He proved himself. Why? So you could be free. So you could stand in all the glory of God working in you and through you. And that he loves you and he cherishes you. And I don't care how you've grown up or what you've been told, but I'm here to tell you today, change your thinking, because you got to start thinking like God said. We got to start speaking like God speaks. I've got to start seeing things and kingdom like God needs me to see it, because the world is screaming louder than I am right now, telling you that you're gay and that you're transgender. What do you guys think that is? That is a demonic spirit speaking against what God created, what God ordained. It's a direct attack. It's an antichrist spirit operating. You say, operating in me? It could be. And how do you fight that? A good fight of faith. You begin to speak the word over yourself and say, I don't care what Satan's been telling me all this time. I'm going to begin to say what God has said. He has called me mighty. I am wonderfully and fearfully made, not because of my sex or my desires, but my desires die at the feet of the cross. And if I have to become a eunuch, I will become a eunuch, because I'd rather serve Christ and go all the way with Jesus than find myself in sin, which will separate me for eternity from God. Church, we've got to get serious about this stuff. We can't be playing into the game. I watch too many Christians play into the game. We end up hating each other, backbiting each other. Leave your church if they don't talk about Charlie Kirk. Leave your church if they don't talk about Trump. Leave your church. What is all that? That's a divisive Christian telling you that. Who are you listening to? That's leaven, church. The blood is bigger than all of this foolishness we get ourselves caught in. Let's stay with the one who has proved himself. Let's stay with the one who tells us to forgive. Let's stay with the one who tells us to be long-suffering. Let's stay with the one who tells us to turn our cheek. Let's stay with the one who says to take your coat and give it to those that hurt you. You see, God can do this through you. His word is powerful. His word is evident. His word is holy. His word is righteous. His word is reigning. His death proved it. His death is your power. His death is your salvation. His death is your eternal life. And girls, we've needed leave it. Because when I get off of it, number three, I will not have the grace of God working in my life. Number three, God's grace is at work in your life. And if you are not seeing God's grace in your life, what have you given into? What have you started to believe? What system have you been operating in that maybe you need to repent of and ask God to reassign your thinking, reassign your heart, realign you with what he says and not what the world says about you? Because he loves you. And he went to that cross for you so you don't have to live tormented on this earth. 1 Corinthians 15:8. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted the church. If you do not know about Paul, Paul was once Saul. And Saul would kill Jews. He would kill them. He would murder them. Because he was a zealot. And he thought he knew better. And there was a religious spirit on him. And he hurt the body of Christ. And God got a hold of Paul while he was on a road. He wiped him out, made him blind. And then he sent a prophet to him to heal him and tell him, you no longer are going to continue in what you've been doing. Repent, and I'm going to use you for the kingdom. And from that day, Paul lived a hard life. But Paul is such a humble man because he knew that he was deserving of hell for what he had been. And he knew the grace that God had showed him on that road that day when he stopped him in his tracks, when he sent someone to heal him, and when he gave him a new purpose and a new assignment. You see, what God did for Paul, Paul is speaking of right now. Verse 10, but whatever I am now, it is because God poured out his special favor on me and not without results. Do you think everybody would call that God's special favor? Paul's journey? I don't know if I would call that God's special favor. I would think like maybe battered to the point where like I could not see. Okay. But Paul is looking at it as a favor, not without results. For I have worked harder than any of the other apostles. This is true. Yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. So it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach, for we all preach the same message you have already believed. I love how Paul was so humble. I think our community, our society, a people group, us as a people group, have lost the art of humility. We have lost it. We always have to be right. We always have to fact check everyone. Do you guys notice that? We think we know better, and everybody thinks they know better than somebody else. There's a whole bunch of cocky people walking around, and nobody can ever be humble enough to receive or hear. It's a position that Paul was choosing, to always stay humble in the presence of God's grace on his life. And girls, God's grace is for you, but it's a choice in your life to keep yourself in a submitted, humble position to God so that God can then respond with his grace to get the job done on your behalf when you can't do it. You see, this is a reminder to us that we're all undeserving. We're all undeserving. I have a story of an older gentleman. He was an older gentleman who lived in the land. He lived off the land. He didn't know much about people. And he lived his life. He was in sin most of his life. And a missionary came along the way and he began to minister the gospel to him. And friends asked him to explain the change in his life because they didn't quite understand where this comes from. How are you different? Why are you thinking like you are thinking? And so, trying to explain it to his friends, he reached down and he picked up a little worm and he placed it in a pile of leaves. Then touching it with a match, the leaves lit up. And as the flames began to work their way to the center where the worm was laying, he stuck his hand into the middle of those leaves that were aflame and he grabbed the worm right out of there. And he said to his friends, I am the worm and God saved me from the pit of hell. You see, it was God's grace that saved me. He didn't have to, but he did, and he chose to. God's grace is for us. When you don't even know you need saving, like Paul did not even know he needed saving, and God saved him. And Paul dedicated his whole life to God after that. Girls, God is asking that you walk out your life in grace, in mercy, in kindness and goodness. I am not a smart person. I might be street smart, but I am not exactly book smart. If you put me next to Pastor Teresa, I'm like, good. But yet God uses me. I'm a big mouth. I'm obnoxious. I'm confrontational. I'm all the things everybody hates. But you know what? God uses me. Not because I'm good, but because God's good. And because God uses this personality, what is God going to do with your personality? God's going to use you. Why? Because God loves you, and he made you the way you are for some reason. And you need to go and walk out the good news of the gospel in your life. And you need to allow God's grace, God's sovereign, divine ability to get the job done on your behalf when you did not think you could do it. My mom's definition is his word, Philly, walking out his word, and what his word and the truth demands of me, he gives me the ability to do it because it's what it demands of me. You see, God's grace is operating in our lives as believers. And sometimes I think we forget this, and we don't pull on the grace of God, and we forget that he's covering us with his grace. When you don't know how you're going to parent, and you don't know what to do next, grace is covering you as you seek the face of God. When you don't know how to confront somebody on an issue that has been a broken place, but you know you got to deal with it so that it doesn't just get slipped under the rug, but we pull it out so Satan can't use it anymore, and you need to go have a conversation, God's grace is with you. And ask him to watch your mouth and ask him to help you walk through those things. God's grace is more than enough for you in the very uncomfortable places. Grace is not a moment in time, but it's a journey of our time. It's a constant reminder that even when life tries to break you, because it will, the God will never leave you in pieces. He takes the fragments of your stories, girls, and he turns them into something far more beautiful than we could ever have imagined. Just hold on. Your story is being written. Grace is writing the story of your life right now. And allow the grace of God to move in your life. I want to remind you today that Christ's death and resurrection, that we have divine goodness over our lives because God's word is good daily in our lives. We have a backing of God because he proved himself to us over and over and over again, not just historically, but spiritually. We also have a grace of God working through us each and every day. You cannot do this on your own, but the grace of God is active in your life, not just to save you, but to help you. Help you walk through the decisions that you don't know how to make, the judgment calls that you need, the discernment that you need, the healing that you need. Grace is with you. Say, grace is with me. And all of that is so that you will go out and you will preach the gospel of this good grace to all who will listen to you. You are full-time ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is time for you to tell your redemption story to someone else. He says, go to the disciples and go and preach the good news of the gospel. Girls, I'm telling you now, go and preach the good news of the gospel this week. Whether it's in your kids' schools, whether it's at the grocery store, whether it's somebody who is struggling getting into their car because they need help holding the door or they have a walker, look for opportunity to pray for someone. Look for opportunity to invite someone to church and invite them to Easter this year, because I believe God has something supernatural for our community and for our lives. Did you get something from the Lord today? Awesome. God's goodness is yours. God was true to his word for you, and God's grace is at work in your life. I'm so grateful for the word today. Some of you do not know Jesus, so I want to make sure you know him. I want to give you that opportunity to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ before you leave this room. It's one thing to know God in your head, but it's another thing to know God in your heart, to have that personal, intimate relationship with him, to have a knowing and to understand his word in a deeper way when you read it. It won't just be letters on a page anymore, but it will be the Holy Spirit teaching you his word. God is calling you home. He loved you, and he formed you in your mother's womb. And sin has separated us from God. And some of you have been told that you're okay because you go to church, but you aren't a Christian because you go to church. You aren't promised heaven because you go to church. See, but I read my Bible sometimes. Well, just because you read your Bible does not mean that you're a Christian. Does not mean you're right with God. Today, I want you to make sure you're right with God. Satan himself knew the word. He understood scripture. When Jesus himself went into the valley, Satan tempted him, and what did he put at him? The word. He used the word. Why? Because he understood the word. So the word of God, just because we read it doesn't mean you're saved. It is not until you say, yes, God, I believe that you are the one and only God, and that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, that I'm broken and I can't seem to get these things right. But God, I know that your blood on that cross washed away my sin. And so, Lord, I confess to you today that you are God. And I ask that you would come and be the Lord of my life. And that's how you get saved. It's the humility. It's a repentance. And then it's an inviting of Jesus to come and be and live and dwell in your life. And if you have never invited him to come and be the Lord of your life today, I want to give you that opportunity. If you've been running from God instead of to God, maybe you've been living back and forth and you've been kind of that person like a ping pong ball. Like, oh, I struggle with my desires. I struggle with my role. I struggle with these things. Then I feel like I'm not good enough for God. I'm here to tell you today, you will never be good enough. You just need God to be good enough. And he says, come to me, all you who are brokenhearted. I will give you rest. But you will never know freedom until you just surrender all of that to God. And he begins to wash you one day at a time and cleanse you and help you through your sin and the pain. And he begins to wash away and strip away the foolish things that Satan has allowed us in this world. And God comes to get rid of every part of it. You will not feel that pain and suffering like you used to, because there's a freedom in Christ Jesus. But you will never know it until you make him the Lord of your life. And so today, ask yourself this question. Do I know Jesus personally? Is he the Lord of my life? Or is there other things more controlling in my life than him? Do I give in more to other things besides God? I would say, then you need to make a commitment today to serve Christ full-heartedly. And say no to sin, no to your past, no to your old ways, and yes to Jesus. So if you've been running from God instead of to God, get ready, I'll give you a chance to say yes to Jesus. Some of you have been into some demonic practices. You say, what is that, Pastor? Crystals, angel numbers, those are not God angel numbers, those are demon angel numbers. These are all pagan practices, satanic worship. These are open doors in your life for demonic things to rule and reign. And you need to renounce the works of Satan. And you need to say, yes, that Jesus is the Lord of your life. And you will be free from those things today. The only way to be free from all of this is Jesus. The only way to be free from sin is Jesus. And the only way to live in eternity in heaven for eternity is Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, that no man comes to the Father except through me. So today, he said that you will be saved if you confess me with your mouth and believe in your heart. So we will pray a prayer together. But first, he's in Revelation and he's talking about, he says, if you confess me before men, Jesus is speaking, I will confess you before my Father. When we die, everybody will face God. Everyone. Yeah, even your shady neighbor and everybody. And everybody will have to give an account to God what they did with their life and why they denied Christ. And they will either be with him for eternity or they will go to hell. And Jesus is talking about this moment and he says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. So today, I will ask you, do you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life? Have you been running from God instead of to God? And I will ask you to raise your hand. And I will see your hand. And that is your confession of saying, yes, I need God. I just need him to come and be the Lord of my life. And then we will pray together and we will invite him to come and be the Lord of your life. It's very simple. This is not abracadabra. This is not new age guru stuff. This is literally just you and God having a relationship and talking. And you saying, I do not want to live that old life. So get ready on the count of three. If you've been running from God instead of to God, if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life and needed to make him your Lord today, if you've been into the satanic practices and you need to renounce the works of darkness and you need to step into all that God has for you. Get ready on the count of three. One, two, three. Raise your hands if you need Jesus right now. keep them up. I see that hand. I see that hand. Okay, well, this is what we're going to do. I love even when little kids raise their hand, because Jesus says, do not persuade them not to come to me. And so this is what we're going to pray. We're going to pray together. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes, bow your head, and repeat after me. Dear Father God, I come before you today, a sinner in need of a Savior. And Lord, I ask that you would cleanse me, that you would wash me, that you would forgive me of my sins. Thank you for being God, choosing to come down, die on that cross, and be a sacrifice so that I can be with you for eternity. I believe and confess that you are God, the only God. And today is the day that I am leaving hell behind, and I'm headed for all you have for me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Teach me. Show me your ways. And give me your heart. Thank you so much for your sacrifice. Amen and amen. Awesome. Well, here's Deborah. We have a little kid over here, Deborah. And if any of the other women around the tables, if you're going, I prayed that prayer, I just didn't want to raise my hand, that's okay. Deborah's right here. And afterwards, if you would like, she has a book for you. What do you do now that you're saved? And we even have something for children as well. And it will help you with the next steps of what to do in this walk that we call Christianity. We give away friends. So don't do life alone. Please connect with Deborah. And then Pastor Melissa, will you come on up and give us the rest of the service?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.